Yeah, I think it was a great season and a pity at the same time, because obviously they have an advantage to play one game a week, and until the end you could see that they were fresher than the other teams, and it was a pity because it was a great chance. No, I think that without United, that maybe will be next year, it will be more difficult, and to be until the end fighting for the title, I would say that was a great season.
It surprised everyone because of the size of the squad, a very small squad, but as you say, perhaps the advantage of not playing European football.
Yeah, when you don't play two games a week, the size of the squad is not a key factor, because just with 20 players is enough.
How hard do you think to actually make that stride from perhaps the seventh in the previous year to second? As someone who's done so much in the Premier League, how much of a jump did Liverpool make?
I think that more than how much means, is that what means really for the future of the team, of the club, no? We could see that when the team was every year in the Champions League, managing the expectations and at high level was quite difficult. And after they needed to come back, and I think that they did well. With Kenny, you could see that they were growing, and after with Brendan, these young players, they have more energy, and the idea how they want to play, you can see that is moving forward. Now, the difficult thing will be the next year. The next year, when they have to prove all these things, playing two games a week against the top side, because the United will be coming. But at least you have the potential and you have the quality to show something the next season.
You're a very strategic manager. You plan everything to the absolute detail. When you perhaps looked at how Liverpool played last season, huge attacking flair, but conceding an awful lot of goals. Is it hard to put that sort of battle plan in place?
Yeah, always I say that the balance is the key. When you want to win trophies, the balance is the key. We can see, for example, in Italy, 39 goals. Mm. And everybody was talking about, the defence has to improve. And we scored 104 in the season, in all the competitions, and we can see 39 in the league, and everybody was criticising that. Liverpool, I think that they can see around 50. So to find the balance between the goal that you score and the goal that you can see is the key if you want to win titles.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's the big test, I suppose, this summer, just in terms of some of the individuals that made the season. But one that you know very well, you brought him to the club in Raheem Sterling. How do you assess his rise and how quickly he's become such a strong force in the Premier League?
We knew that Raheem was a very good player, but I will give credit to Frank McParland, the academy director at this time, because he pointed me in this direction. And when I met Raheem and when I saw him, we knew that he had a great potential. So again, I would say credit to Frankie, because they show the talent in a young player, very young player, and we spend more money than ever. Normally we had around £200,000 for young players, and in this case we spent double, and I think that was a great signing, and we have seen now how it's developing. So to have the opportunity to play every week for a young player, I think it's a key factor in his development.
Did you expect him to develop at quite this rate, though? Because I think the last year has shown...
We were following him when I was away. I was following him, and I could see how he was progressing. So I could see, because I had Coutinho also in Inter Milan, so I could see both players growing in confidence. That is the key when you have quality.
Is he one of the best players of his type
the
league?
Yeah, at the moment I think so, because... he has the mentality, the confidence, pace, ability, so a lot of things that has been really important during the season. And when you have a team that is attacking and you have a player like him and the other teams are waiting, he has the pace and the ability to beat players in smaller spaces, so that was another key part of the Liverpool game.
And what about the ripples that Luis Suarez has made this season? He was a player, I know you were interested in your time as Liverpool manager.
No, for sure, we have been following Luis for a long time, but I think it was a great signing, and he has shown his potentials, his character and his quality, and with all the problems that he has had these years and is still performing at the level that he has been performing, it's amazing.
Can he be even better? I mean, he's what, 26, 27? Can his game go to another level?
Yeah, I think that he has a right age to still growing and developing his game. I think with experience, For example, I would say the average age in the World Cup will be 27 years 4 months. So if we talk about Luis Suarez, still he is not the...
He's almost at the average.
The average, but that is the best time for a player. So, and it has been the same for 4 years in the World Cup. So that means that there's still Luis Suarez has 4 or 5 years to improve and to develop all his potential.
And so he can be even better, is what you're saying. Just a thought finally on Liverpool and on Steven Gerrard, and of course a shifted role, perhaps a much different role than when you were his manager there, but one that he's acclimatised to quite quickly.
No, I think it's normal, because obviously with the age you lose some energy, but you have more game intelligence. So I think that Stevie is dropping off and using his quality, always he has had technical quality, and now the understanding of the game is much better. So I think that it's a normal transition from a player with more energy and a box-to-box midfielder, and a player that now he can understand the game and he can be more influential for the game, playing a little bit deeper.
So Manchester City, the Premier League winners this year, will the competition become even harder next year for a club like Liverpool to compete with the Chelseas and the Cities? And we've already seen Chelsea, you know, linked with a Fabregas or bringing in a Costa. Is it going to become harder and harder, do you think?
Yeah, always when you don't have a big budget, you have to be clever and you have to sell players, to buy players or things like this, and then you cannot sell the bad players because they will not give you money for them. So you have to sell some good players if you want to make some money, and then try to adjust your squad. So you can see Chelsea or City or even United, and we will see Arsenal. But when you have big money, then you don't need to sell the best players. Liverpool now, I think that they will be in a position that they can keep the players that they have. So I think that they can be better.
So you think they'll be able to keep pace with the Manchester Cities of the world?
Or? Yeah, in terms of quality of the team, for sure, they don't have any problem. We will see if they can manage a bigger squad to play two competitions at the maximum level. But in terms of quality, why not?
Now, your CV must be running out of space, because at Napoli you picked up another cup this season. Just tell us about your season there. A vigorously contested league, isn't it?
Yeah, Italian football is very complicated, and tactically it's very difficult. And Napoli is like, always I say, it's like Liverpool. So you have a city that is not the capital, and you have a city that have a lot of workers, and you have a team that is not economically is not as strong as Juventus, Inter, AC Milan or Roma. So you have to do everything perfect if you want to compete against them. So again, you can see in the league that the squad makes the difference, but in the cup competition, when you can manage with your team, when we were successful, we did a great Champions League. 12 points is the first time ever that the team with 12 points kind of qualified, but it's another great experience, and hopefully will help for the future, because I think that to be in the league, in the cup, and in the Champions League, like we were the last year, and doing well, it's not easy for any club, but especially, as I say before, for a team that has no big squad.
Yeah, a division like Serie A, and you looked at the lead that Juventus had in it. I mean, it's an astonishing difference that they made. Why was it?
We achieved, we equalised the record in the history of the club in terms of points in the league, 78. But Roma broke the record of his history, and Juventus the same. So when you compete against a big side and they can break the record of their own history, it's almost impossible for you. So I think that again, I would say we did a great season, but the consistency, you have to get the consistency with a bigger squad, and that is what we are trying to do next year.
And of course you did the overhaul of the squad as well, and you brought in Higuain, who has been incredible for you. At the same time, you had to let go an incredible striker as well, didn't you?
Yeah, Cavani was scoring more than 40% of the goals of the team, so to replace Cavani was always a difficult mission. So, and then Cavani has scored 104 goals in 3 seasons for Napoli, and we scored 104 goals last year. And using players like Mertens, Callejon, Higuain was the key and also Insigne, Hamsik, the key of the offensive mentality of our team. So everybody was praising the offensive football, the attacking football that we were doing, but at the same time, in Italy, the balance. So we conceded 39 goals, and the balance between the attack and defence is the key if you want to win titles.
On to the World Cup. As a manager, the World Cup can never be restful. I think Napoli have got more players there than any other club. Is that the case?
I think that Bayern Monaco now has a lot of them, or Bayern Munich in England. But we had 13 plus 3, we had nearly 16 in the end, because Mayo is not going, so it will be 15, and it's fine, no? It's enough. As a manager, you don't want to see your players around and with a lot of injuries that you can see every day. So I think it's better if they come back safe, but okay, hopefully they will get to the final.
Well, what about the assessment of the different teams there? How much of a factor is that the weather and the conditions? Will teams like Brazil, Argentina, or even Spain benefit from that?
The grass in South America is larger than here. The weather, the humidity, all these things, they can influence in the tempo of the game. So the key for England and the key for the European teams is to keep the tempo. Not any team, any European team has won in America. So that will mean something, no? It means that it's another style of football, it's another tempo, and you have to manage really well if you want to compete against the South American teams. Brazil, Argentina, Colombia, they are very, very strong, Uruguay. So I think it's important to keep the high tempo if you want to compete against them.
How easy is it, with all the Liverpool players in that England team, how easy is it to put their sort of Liverpool game into the England game? I mean, that's what people talk about, but as a manager, can you transform one to the other?
I think that they will try, for sure they will try. But again, I would say that the conditions are different. So if you play there, and I remember going with Real Madrid when I was assistant of the Bosque, and the ball, the grass, the speed, everything was totally different. So you will need time to adapt. And I don't know if you have time to adapt. No, that is the main thing.
Is England's strength their youth? I mean, it's a different England. Perhaps it's not been as negative in the lead up to this.
No, I think the strength of England now is the mix of young players with players with more experience. Because if you talk about Rooney, Gerrard, or Lampard, Johnson, players with a lot of experience, or Baines, and after you talk about the Sterling or Sturridge or Barkley, so I think they have a very good balance. You can change games now with this young player that they have pace and mobility, and you can keep a high tempo with them if you want. So I think that the balance now for England is really good.
So it's the blend. Do you see them in any way as sort of dark horses to be in the latter stages?
I think that they will have a problem because Uruguay is they are playing together for a long time. So, but still, I think that England is stronger. So we will see. The first game against Italy will be very important, and after that, I can see England progressing because again, the adaptation will be easier, and the age of the team, the average age of the team is really good, and they have different options, different kind of players that they can approach the games in a different way.
So England's weakness is what?
For me, it's if they cannot control the game, if they cannot control the tempo of the game, they will have some problems. But if they attack in the way that we have seen England attacking in some games, I think that they cannot be scared of anyone.
Is it still very hard to look past Spain? I mean, as you know, as a Spanish supporter, and see the depth they've built up.
Spain is a team that has an advantage. They have an style, and they have been playing the same way for a while. So you can change players and still they can play with the same idea. And if you have, for example, Iniesta or Mata on the pitch, but you need to change something, you can play David Silva and he can make the difference. So Spain has a lot of players with quality. The only problem that they will have is they were fighting for the title in Spain, Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid and Barcelona, with a lot of players in the national team. The Champions League final, Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid, and the Europa League final with Sevilla. So too many Spanish players involved until the end of the season, and maybe they will be a little bit tired. We will see, but you never know, because still they have a lot of quality.
That's interesting. And going back to England, just is Raheem Sterling a player that if you were the manager, you would consider starting games for England? There seems to be this general debate. Is the experience of Rooney someone you just leave, or is Raheem someone you throw in?
I have a lot of respect for the manager's decision, but why not? He can play, but I would say it depends on the manager. But for me, he has and he has shown this year enough quality to play from the beginning.
So sometimes a secret weapon can really work.
Yeah, sometimes the players, they don't like to be on the bench and after maybe come and make the difference. But in the case of Sterling, he can play from the beginning and he can be a big problem for the defenders, but he can come from the bench and be the same when the other players will be a little bit more tired.
Just give us your thoughts on perhaps the stars of the World Cup. I mean, are we looking at the Neymars to really make a name for themselves? Can Rooney do it? Who will perhaps stand out, do you think, from this World Cup, given where it is?
Obviously, normally we would talk about offensive players. I think that Neymar is one of the big names. Always I like Rooney, but we will see if Sturridge or Sterling can make the difference, or even Barkley. And Italy, I would like to see Insigne doing well. But I think that normally we will talk about the strikers, and these names, they are very good players, and they can. Luis Suarez, if he's fit, oh, he can make the difference. And Cavani is another one that has he's always hungry. He always wants to score more goals.
Rafa's top tip for the final two teams in the final, and the outcome of the World Cup is what?
Argentina. I forgot to talk about Argentina because they have a very good balance, because Messi, Higuain, Agüero in attack, they can make the difference also in any game. So I would like to see obviously Spain, but I think that it will be tough. Argentina, Brazil, for me England, Italy, if they manage the game. So all these teams, they have options. Germany is a very, very strong team, but still I think that the other teams they can adapt a little bit better. And a team that I don't know how far will go and will be very interesting is Belgium, because they have a very, very good age, very good players, and some players with experience, so they have a very good balance too.
So your finalists are Spain, Argentina? I'm not sure if that can work out.
I would say that maybe between Argentina, Brazil, Spain, two of these three.